Welcome to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Podcast. I'm David.
And I'm Pete. And today we're going to talk about some scenarios that have come up. The season is underway and the Facebook groups are awash with video clips asking for rule breakdowns and explanations of scenarios. So we're going to talk a little bit about that too. Right, David?
Yeah, this is going to be one of the funnest episodes that we've recorded in a while, I think, because we love to talk about things that there's no definitive solution to. Because this also brings up opportunities for our umpiring friends to reach out to us and say where we screwed something up, or maybe we got something wrong, or maybe every once in a while they come and say, man, I like how you guys discussed that one and you really walked me through it. So who knows what this
super
one's going to be.
Rarely.
Yeah, it's not frequent, is it?
Yeah, and some of these, even some of these don't have a definitive answer. The super umpire is still thinking about some of these and there's no ruling, whereas the book may be a little ambiguous or the book doesn't speak on it. So then there's interpretation that needs to occur.
Exactly. And for those that don't listen all the time, what's the super umpire, Pete?
The SUP.
The S-U-P? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Which is the ruling or the umpire decisioning body or whatever in NCAA.
The NCAA. Yep, for sure. Okay. So the first one actually comes to us. It's an NCAA play. We saw this one, how it was posted on the NFHS softball.
The group.
But it's a NCAA play, and I'll do my best to describe what I saw, and then Pete will make it more understandable, probably. So what I saw was a team had the suicide squeeze on, and for those that just umpire and don't really know the diamond sports very well, a suicide squeeze is where the bunter must get a bunt down because the runner from third base is actually kind of like stealing home.
Right. They're running no matter what.
They are going.
So if you don't get the bunt down, they're dead.
He's in a lot of trouble, right?
They're unalived if we're going to TikTok this guy.
That's right. So that's why they call it the suicide squeeze. Hopefully the transcripts will allow that.
Yeah, they're going. Yeah, we're canceled.
We're going to go crazy on that one. But so anyway, so the suicide squeeze is on. Bunter squares to bunt. Runner, the pitch comes. Runner's off with the pitch and busting feet down to home. The bunt goes up in the air and toward the third base side of the diamond.
Yep.
Third baseman is sprinting in, makes a dive to attempt to catch the ball. At this time, the runner crosses the plate.
Yes.
The ball, however, did not get caught and rolls a little bit on the ground.
And the umpire signaled correctly.
And the umpire is up the line a bit.
Yes.
Yep. Doing safe. I don't know if there was a verbal. You don't have anything, but it was very emphatic. If you're watching the play, he was emphatic that.
I could see it. It was it wasn't a high HD 4K video, and you could plainly see he was signaling. So everyone there had to know.
Everyone knew it, except
the runner,
because the runner, after touching home plate, turned around, touched home plate again on her way back to third. So there was an attempted throw at the runner to try to get her at third. That too did not get caught. And so now there she is standing at third base and play has stopped. And the third base coach calls time and there's a discussion.
Yeah.
At the end of the discussion, the home plate umpire goes back to the plate. The runner is standing on third base and we play ball.
No run has scored.
No run has scored and the runner's at third. So that's the outcome of the situation. Was it, I don't know, Pete, was it clear?
It's clear. I think you definitely laid it enough that I think we can talk about it now.
Okay, perfect. So the high points here, suicide squeeze is on, runner touches home, thinks that the ball was caught, so thinks she has to tag up, goes back to third to tag up, gets stuck there, and then the play's over.
Yeah.
So now we have a runner that went. So I'm like, oh my gosh, what a horrible thing to have happen. There's some debate online about whether the umpire saw the runner touch home plate or not. It was really hard to tell. I'd love to be able to ask him, but so I don't know that he did. He was up the line a bit, making sure that the play didn't get, that the ball didn't get caught, that the batted ball didn't get caught.
Right? Yeah.
So it was really hard to tell if he actually saw that or not. But my thought on the thing is, holy cow, when we're live, let's assume for a moment that the umpire did not see her cross the plate. And so now the only thing the umpire knows is that she came back to touch third.
Yes.
And she's safe at third. So I think in a live environment, there's absolutely nothing to do here. There's no, it's like, yep, good job. We're playing ball. I don't know what the third base coach asked, but I would hope that the third base coach would say, hey, she touched the plate, And so let's assume for a moment that the umpire did not see the plate, the touch at the plate. this would be covered, I think, this year in the NCAA. We are allowed to initiate video review. The umpires are allowed to initiate video review if there was no coverage of a play.
So meaning they did not see it, so you can get the video to be the third set of eyes or fourth set of eyes, depending on the
coverage. And so if we assume for a moment that the plate umpire did not see the play at the plate, see the runner touch the plate, we have the ability as an umpire crew to then call for video review on that to see if she did. Well, great. But let's keep assuming and say that she did touch the plate, but then she ran back to third.
Yeah.
So do we score a run and kick her off the bases? Do we leave her at third? You know, now that we know she touched the plate, what do we do about that?
Right. And so my immediate thoughts are, I have two thoughts. One, why did she do that? So then if you think about why, my brain starts to jump to something like umpire jeopardy, where if you did not, because she was suiciding, right? So she's way down the line. She probably was past, I don't have it in front of me right now, but if she was past the umpire or just wasn't looking at him because she was looking at where she's running, she didn't know the safe thing was called. And so the umpire, especially if he didn't verbal, or even if he did, she didn't hear it past the sound of the dirt scraping or whatever, went back. That's just, no, don't worry. You know, you scored. That ball was, you know, a uncaught fair ball. You know, the ball's live. You go ahead, go sit on the bench and go slap some hands, right? And that's it. We fixed the thing that happened because it was kind of weird, right? The other thing I'm thinking is, by doing that, she may have put herself in jeopardy of the umpires actually calling an interference call, because there's still a runner. The runner who bunted is on base safely. Yep. And I'm assuming she went to second in the melee. But
I would imagine.
She's on the base path. And by that runner, or even if she didn't, the runner running back to third has created some sort of distraction. She's a runner who no longer is a runner, right?
Doesn't have status anymore, right?
Yeah, that's, she has legally touched all of the bases, 1, 2, or 3, and then touched home. Yep. Right. And so now she's done. She has no responsibilities. She is now out there drawing a throw when she's not supposed to be out there. And that's grounds for interference. And then she, who's already scored, the run would score in my mind, but you would go call that person out. I assume the only other person on base, I believe, from the scenario is the bunter. So that person's out for that. Run counts, girls out.
It could absolutely be that. You know, so how do we, if we go back and we say, okay, she did touch home, there's a rule. There is a rule in the NCAA, the only one that I could find, and I dug deep. So I was looking at this one for at least an hour.
And we had the interns on this like all week.
Yes, the interns were on it all week. They don't bill by the hour, do they?
No, we pay them in crackers.
All right, gotcha. Yeah, exactly. So the only rule I could find is 6-2-2. And 6-2-2 is in that. So rule 6 is the game, right? And 6-2 is scoring of runs. And 6-2-2 says very specifically, one run shall be scored each time a runner legally touches first, second, and third bases and home plate before the third out of the half inning. Did that happen?
Yes. Sounds like it did, assuming all the other things you assumed as you were going through your
assumptions. Yeah, that happened. She touched first, and that's how she got on base, and then she got over to third, right? So she touched second. You know, we've had another play, so nobody can appeal that.
Yeah, it's unappealable, so that's where she is.
She's definitely touched first, second, and third. And if she has touched home, and the inning is not over yet, you score a run by 6-2-2. So where, Pete, there's my smart aleck coming out. Where, Pete, in the book, does it say that a runner, a player who has scored, can unscore themselves?
This sounds almost like in the end of Ferris Bueller when they tried to take the miles off the car by driving backwards.
Yeah.
This is like, no, you can't. I don't think there's anything in the book, in any book that we've seen, that would suggest that someone who ran, because that would suggest some kind of weird thing, whereas if I cross the plate and then I go back to the dugout by running over the plate again, I just untrick the run.
I like the cha-ching. Yeah. So there's nothing in the book that says you can unscore. So I think you got to book the run. I think you have to book the run. If we go to review and we say, hey, she touched home plate, you have to book the run. Now, if you've booked the run and she runs back out on the field and draws a throw, and now the girl goes from first to second, is she in trouble because, you know, of this interference thing? I think that's possible as well.
Yeah.
However, that would have to come from a review. Right. So in our situation here today, you would have to say, well, we didn't call interference before.
Oh, I see what you mean.
You know what I mean? So no interference was called live. And so somebody would have to say, well, then I want a review of interference, even though we know what happened. Right. We know what happened.
But that's the mechanism to get interference called when it's not called live.
Yeah. And if you go to the video review, you know, Appendix G in the NCAA book, it's very specific about what can be reviewed and what you're looking at. Right. Mm-hmm. And then some of the some of the ARs and some of the clarifications that have come out have suggested to us to say, hey, be very careful about what was asked to be reviewed and what is reviewable, and then what you come away from that review with, right? So I don't know if she's in trouble there. One of the things that I was talking with another umpire about this particular situation through texts, and it was, well, we can't necessarily call interference because, and you said something about status earlier, right? Once she's crossed home plate, she doesn't have status anymore. I think you said like she's done, but I said status maybe. Yeah. But anyway.
Don't put words in my mouth, David.
I'm sorry. But this other umpire said, well, what if she missed a base? Mm-hmm. And she's allowed to go back and miss. So she still has status, right? And I would say yes,
if she missed a base.
Because
she could not have scored.
Yeah,
by definition of the run that you read earlier.
Yeah, exactly. So if she didn't touch second base and then she went on and crossed the plate, she did not score. Now, on appeal, she didn't score, right? Because once you pass the base, you're assumed to have touched it.
Yes.
So we would think that she scored until somebody appealed and said, hey, you missed that base. Or in this case, if a coach called her back and said, hey, you missed second base, get your butt back there, right?
Yeah.
So she missed a base. She actually missed a base, or somebody thought she missed a base, right? Then she definitely has the ability to go run backwards. And if she missed a base, she didn't score. So I think we're still good on 6-2-2. This player in this instance touched all the bases. She was standing at third. She also touched home and the half inning was not over. You have to score that run. So I think that on appeal, or not on appeal, but on a, hey, go look at this. My runner touched home and nobody was there watching her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously you've got her standing here at third, so you must not have seen it. Right. I think you could think that. I'm not sure, you know, if that's legit or not, but I think you could think that.
And you'll get a warning for being a little.
Yeah, I might get a little. Yeah, I might get in trouble for being a little mouthy, but, you know, hey, my runner scored.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry that you didn't see it, but she did. That doesn't change the fact that she did. Something else that was a little back and forth with me and somebody else in that actual post, right? It's like the fact that an umpire didn't see it doesn't mean you don't apply the rules.
Right.
The rules don't change whether an umpire saw it or didn't see it. Right? So you actually did speed, even if you didn't get, you know.
If a tree falls in the forest. Speeding.
Yes, it makes a noise. Just, you know, I didn't hear it. Right? So anyway, so back to the kind of the point I was making there is that the runner can still run backwards if they thought they missed a base, or if somebody told them they missed a base or something to that effect. So that part's not there. So I think you have to score the run and send her to the dugout. That's how I think this thing has to be adjudicated, you know, and so we'll look and see what the NCAA, what the SUP says, see if they come out with that kind of a ruling or whatever. But I don't see, and I think, I'll give Jerry Fick a shout out here on my smart ass, you know, where in the book, show me where in the book it says that she can unscore. That sounds like something that Jerry would say to me. And so he gets a little shout out on that smart aleckiness right there. Better to be a smart ass than a dumbass though, right, Pete? So what do you think? What do you think?
I think that's what it is. I feel like in the moment, if because when I watch the video, right? So when I watch these videos, what I try to do is pretend that I was the umpire. But unfortunately and unfairly to the umpires working the games, I have a vantage point that is different than the vantage point. I also usually have some preamble to what I'm looking for. You know, so it's really easy to see pass interference on a football play when you are watching only two receivers, and what you're thinking, you knew that a receiver fell down, and so you're looking only for the corner to trip him, right? And so if you're only looking for that, it's real easy to see it. How'd the referee miss that?
Well, there's a lot going on in this case.
I'm watching this, you know, because I knew a little bit going in that there was a weird play happening, you know, with the runner coming third home, and this. And so I watched it. I'm watching it from the eye in the sky. I can see a wider field of view than a human being can see. But as I was watching it real time with all those caveats, first thing I thought was the run scores. I would not have thought at the time. I don't feel like I would have thought to call interference live, even though I said that was, you know, it could be a possibility. I don't know that I would have thought of that because so much other stuff, this so wild of a play happening. I don't know that it would have occurred to me. I would have called as soon as everyone was done and the play was settled. I'd have called, you know, time, dead ball, whatever. And I would have said, pointed to her, be like, you know, score, you're out of here. The run scored. And then usually I would have waited for the defensive coach to get all mad. And then I would have had to explain to them, this is what happened. Scored. Obviously did not see that I indicated that the ball was not caught. Thought she was in jeopardy. Went back. She was not in jeopardy, so she can go sit down. And then we'd have played ball.
Yeah. And you mentioned something earlier, like there was no verbal in it. Like there wouldn't be, right?
Shouldn't be.
Non-caught fly ball. Mm-hmm. There would not be any noise. You know, it's the safe sign was very appropriate so that everybody who was watching could see it. But it also, as an umpire in that situation, you don't want to be yelling.
Right.
Because it gets confusing. I can tell you that I've been confused as an umpire with my plate umpire yelling at me, you know, because we were U1 and then U3, and, you know, we were three umpire system. And I think this was in one of the episodes, and he's out in front of the pitcher's plate and screaming. And I'm like, what the heck are you yelling about? You know, it turns out he was just yelling, you know, we're two man, my partner Chase, you know, and I'm like, oh, confused the crap out of me. But so anyway, yeah, that I think he got it right. I think I'm just so glad that it was who it was behind the plate and it wasn't us, because I would have messed it up really bad. So, you know, those types of situations are difficult live and in real time for sure. And this particular umpire keeps getting these crazy ones. There's a lot of crazy stuff happens. So let's put a bow tie on that one, and we're gonna cut the episode because we're at time.
Yeah.
And I've got a couple more, so tune in next week. You'll get a couple more for us.
Exactly. So until then,
thanks for listening.